In Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head." Well, Father, we thank you because your word is truth. May it guide our steps tonight, illuminate our paths, and may we recognize that our pursuit is holiness and righteousness and the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Saints, when we sow in the kingdom, whether it's time, talent, treasure, all three of them, we will reap because that's God's promise. Whatever we sow in the kingdom, time, talent, treasure, we will reap. Jesus is giving an exposition here on planting and agriculture and crops. If there is no seed sown, there is no reaping. People wonder, well, how come God doesn't bless me? Well, what have you sown? I remember Joseph mistreated by his brothers. Initially, they intended murder, sold him into slavery, and Joseph landed ultimately in prison. He was planted in soil. He was thrown into a pit. But even if you're thrown into the earth, be ready. I said, be ready, because you're about to do something you would never have done. Even if you were taken and thrown down, you've been in the pits. You will break up through the dirt, even as Joseph broke out. And before God reveals his glory in your life, you may go through a dark, lonely place in order to produce a greater harvest. While being in that dark place, we cannot be fearful of being alone. We are not allowing the spirit of fear to harass us and to intimidate us. We have a tendency to get upset and depressed when people walk away from us and we feel like we're isolated. We tend to be upset with those who get around us and cause havoc in our lives, and that troubles us too. Those types of environments are conducive for what God desires to do in each and every one of us. God allows those circumstances. God creates them. Jesus just talked about them in order that somehow out of that we can be fruit-bearing in our lives. So we begin to learn, and I've learned the hard way. You know, I was so nice to everybody, then I discovered that even your friends turn on you. No. Yes. I said, I discovered that even your friends turned on you. Those you favored, those you have blessed, looking for ways to damage you. You'll grow up through that messy environment, and stuff will happen, and it will be dirty, but you will grow from it. How many people have put a garden in this year? Anybody? Nobody's growing anything this year? Yeah. Well, you know if you planted a garden that you're going to get some dirt under your fingernails, right? Now, I don't go looking for dirt to jump in, but I've learned when I hit the dirt not to be upset because something new is about to be born out of it. I'm not upset with the dirt because something inside that dirt is working for me. My bad situation is not as bad as I think because all things are working together for good for those who love the Lord, called according to his purpose. If I'm down under the dirt, the seed is germinating and it's working on my behalf. Well, I don't think pastors go through very much in their lives. I don't think pastors ever go through anything. No, we don't. We go through more, okay? But we have learned how to process the tests. And those we don't know how to process, we've learned to leave those with God. And then we just keep moving in the direction that God wants us to move. It's hard to get an attitude when you're buried. When you're dead, No response. No negativity when you're dead, right? No retaliation on social media when you're dead and buried. When I'm dead, I won't respond to someone who has no sense. Right, because I'm dead. Remember this about Jesus, he only trusts dead people. That's why Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I die daily, because unless we're willing to die to self, we're always a threat to ourselves. Because we can't trust ourselves, we need to die to ourselves. And some in the church need to remain dead for a while longer. Yeah. Demons won't find you buried in the dirt. And if Jesus could die, we can die. But something happens while we're dead. And as I watch people keep repeating the same mistakes time and again, so stubborn, I say, you just can't die, can you? You just won't surrender to the Lord, will you? You see, we grow to the place where we no longer respond because we're dead to self and we just basically surrender ourselves totally to God. Jesus put it like this. The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone, Jesus taught. Something is happening underneath the soil where you can't see it. Something is happening with your health, with your financial crisis. There's something happening with your marital struggles. There's something happening unseen behind the scenes. And you think, well, nothing is happening. I'm just buried under this mess. But everything is happening. Everything is changing now. The atmosphere is changing because when the seed begins to interact with the soil and the pod around the seed begins to deteriorates. Watch. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens, and as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. Great fruit is born. And where you are right now, you are ripe for a harvest. And I feel it deep in my spirit, and someone says, I'm tired of this dark place. I'm tired of being buried. I'm tired of being dead. That's when the blade begins to break through the surface. I'm tired of hell that I'm going through. That's when the stalk rises above the ground. I'm tired of people messing with my life. That's when the full blade begins to open, when the pressure's been applied under the dirt. Just when you get to the place where you feel like you can't take it anymore. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, the blade fully opens. I've tried to be good to everybody, and I've experienced too much. You hear people talking all the time. But I've been buried too long. It seemed, what's happened, Lord? I'm here to announce tonight, your lonely days are coming to an end. Don't ever sit around thinking you're the only one who's been buried. Your neighbor's been buried too. And some men think you're the only one ever buried. No, your friends are buried. Spouses are buried. But I see a blade breaking forth. And the enemy tells me, listen, he says to all of us, you're the only one going through this. No one else is going. No, no, there are people, other people buried as well. And the entire time you've been in the earth, your surroundings and circumstances are eating away at the outer shell of the core of the seed. And the pod is starting to break open. We think, well, I've been going through it. Is there anything else that I have to endure? And the answer, the process has been eating away at your shell and eating away at your pride and eating away at those externals that you needed to have chipped away from your life, eating away the arrogance, and the process will eat away until there is no more shell and nothing but fruit to be born. Are you listening to this? I need to tell somebody, your shell is just about gone, and your fruit is about to break forth. And when you come to the place where you say, I have no more pride, I've got nothing else to hide, I've been stripped of everything around me, you're at the place where God can manifest great fruit. And it won't just be 30-fold, it'll be 60-fold or even 100-fold. So Calvary, get yourself ready. These are the best days for harvest. And no matter how bad it's been, this has produced a harvest in your life that no one can prevent. And the devil's tripping because he doesn't know this process. He can't figure this out. He brought hell into your life, but God uses it to make you into one of his kingdom warriors. God says, okay, you want to attack them right now? I will use your attack to make them great. And some don't understand. The weapon is formed, but it will not prosper against you. And God sat there watching the devil form the weapon that he wants to use against you. And while he was constructing it, he thought it was going to be used to take you out. But look at you up in here. Look at you here tonight. He thought they could stop you. Instead, he was pushing you into your full potential. They never knew you would hang in there for victory. They never believed that you would survive being buried under the dirt. Some of your enemies think they have you all figured out. You walked away last week thinking you wouldn't even try anymore. It seemed like another dumpster came and fell on top of you. But look at you tonight. You're in church. All that mess you walked through has caused you to grow and to be stronger and to develop. Somebody awakened this morning and they thought, I'm not going to go to church today. But listen, you knew you had to get back here. And all that says, your harvest is about to break out. Amen? The enemy thought he had you figured out. He thought he knew your limits. But all the time while you were buried beneath, you were multiplying, growing stronger. The enemy didn't know. While you were off the radar, you were multiplying. They didn't know. While you were silent, you were multiplying. They didn't know when you were deep down under. You were multiplying. That seed is going to produce fruit that has innumerable seed inside of it. There is a certain environment that brings forth multiplication. Because you may plant a seed for an apple tree, but you'll never, ever be able to count all the seeds in the apples that that tree's going to produce. And it's not when we're up here and everybody sees us. No, that's not what it's about. It's when we're down and nobody sees us. And I want to tell you, your fruit is about to be seen. And it's about to be tasted. And I believe God will do something with you you've never seen before, because God is harvesting your potential. He brought you into the world. And we talked and prayed about it for our grads. Listen, he brought you out of eternity into time because he has a potential. He wants a harvest to come out of you. And the enemy's sitting there trying to figure you out. You've gone through it in seed form. But that's all the enemy ever saw, was seed form. He could never read your potential because he could not look inside the seed. He could not understand. God was purposefully hiding you. He intentionally keeps you hidden in the pod, under the dirt. And as I revisited this passage, I begin to realize, God has been hiding me. That's what God does with us. God has a certain season when the full measure of our fruitfulness all of a sudden gets revealed. When we think, well, nobody knows anything about us. Calvary Christian Center, we're just where God wants us to be, ready for the big reveal, what he's about to do. Everyone thought you would come up like you went down, that somehow when the dirt was pushed away, there you would still be, this little seed pod covered with dirt and nothing was happening. But they didn't understand underneath you were becoming a full head of wheat, no longer just a seed. And the enemy doesn't know you. But the one who knows you has designated the time for your full harvest. They're still looking at you in one form. They're looking for one of you. But they don't understand, underneath that soil, you are multiplying. Did you hear me? You are multiplying. You see, they never should have crucified Jesus. The rulers of this world, Paul writes, have not understood it. If they understood, if they had, they would have not crucified our glorious Lord. Of course, it was his plan to allow them to crucify him. But they would have never done it. The rulers of this world, the principalities and powers, if they knew that out of his death was going to explode this amazing kingdom, they would have never, never hung him on that cross. They never would have put him there. They never should have buried him. They never should have messed with any of us either. Just when they think you've been maxed out, just when they think you've been buried, you begin multiplying. Make room. I said, make room in your life. You have to make more room because God is expanding and enlarging your territory. And they misjudged you. They discarded you. They didn't see your potential because it was in seed form. And the scripture puts it like this, and though you started with little, you will end with much. Zechariah put it like this, do not despise these small beginnings. Don't you look down on any of this. Because God is in the business of multiplying. You began small. You will not remain small. Tell your neighbor, I will not remain small. Say it. Come on. Amen. You may have been buried, but get ready for the resurrection. Amen? Get ready for your getting up moment. Get ready for your multiplication moment. Get ready for your fruitfulness moment. Get ready for God to do exceedingly abundantly. Say fruitful.
Fruitful.
That's his goal. And Jesus was explaining to his followers about harvest. He was showing them. God never comes back looking for what he sowed. I showed that to you from Matthew 25 a few Sundays ago when I shared with you the principles by which Jesus left his stewards to take care of his business and deposited talents with them and asked them to go and increase. He did not come back looking for the same amount he put in their hands. For what he sowed into them. He came back looking for multiplication. What did you gain by what I gave you? What have you increased? I showed that to you from Matthew 25. He never comes back looking for what he sowed. He doesn't come back looking for what he put deposited into you. Whatever he sowed in seed form, now it's been designed to burst into fruit and to multiply. And remember, he rewarded the ones who multiplied what he sowed into them. And there was nothing for the one who just kept it in pod form. In fact, it was taken away from him and given to the one that kept on multiplying even more. We are designed to be fruit-bearing. You're not just a local church. You're an asset to the entire world. You need to begin celebrating because you're an asset. It's your harvest time. God's working on bringing fruit from your life. He's been working all the circumstances for your benefit, even the ones that are dirty and they're terrible and they stink and you're underneath it and you feel like no one even knows you're there, that no one even cares you're there. When you know God has been working on the end product, then you're less worried about all the other stuff that goes on. Because you know God's got a plan in place to finish what he starts. Amen? You don't have time to be responding because you are being transformed. It's not going to be needing to take our time and spend of our emotional energy trying to respond to every little thing that's nuanced in our direction. It's our job to allow him to transform us into fruit bearers. You won't have time for foolishness. You won't have time to spend your emotional energy on drama. Maybe I need JoJo to sing "No More Drama" here, right? Okay? I said, you don't have time to spend emotional energy on drama. That energy needs to be spent producing fruit out of the difficulty, out of the dying process. And when you show up, they will know it because they will be seeing fruit coming from your life. And at that moment, you thought, this is all it's ever going to be. This is as far as it's ever going to go. This is the limit upon which my life will have to be. Listen, in that moment is when God buried you. It wasn't the devil. God buried you. Don't blame it on the devil. God buried you. God said, I'm going to bring something out of you they never thought was in you. God said, I'll take Moses and I'll bury him in the wilderness for 40 years. Listen to me. When he comes back, he will be the deliverer of my people, and millions in multiplication will follow him out of Egypt's bondage onward toward the promised land. He remained buried for 4 decades. No one even knew he was still alive. But when the time came, I said, but when the time came, man, are you all awake in this place? I said, when the time came, it's time. The enemy doesn't know what he's dealing with here in Yuba City. He has no clue. This is not the place you want to start a problem. This is not the town you want to come into and start a mess. He has no idea what he's messing with here in our community, right? Are you listening to me? God, the district, when they see the things that happen from this church across the nation, and the district says, you guys are the best kept secret in NorCal, Nevada. Well, that's fine. We'll stay buried as long as God wants us buried. But there'll come a day when we'll be buried no longer. Amen? Some in the church don't know what you're dealing with right now. You have no idea. If we remain buried as long as he desires us to be buried, there's nothing anyone can do when that blade begins to pop up through the soil, when the full ear begins to unfold. Nothing is going to stop us now when the ear reaches full capacity. There's nothing the enemy can do then to prevent the harvest. You may have sown in tears, you will reap in joy. Get yourself ready. You may have walked into this place crawling. You will leave that place dancing. Amen. Your season has arrived, and it will be a perpetual season when that season dawns. And someone realizes there's something happening in here. You can sense it by the Spirit, in your own spirit. At first, there was complaint. You didn't like it. This stinks. This isn't right. Why are you burying me like this? But now you've started to understand. We are ready for the process. God, I want to bear much fruit. I want to have a tree whose branches are full of great fruit. Put the enemy on notice. Listen, thank your enemies for criticism. It buried you. Thank them for rejection. It buried you. Thank them for walking away from you. It buried you. They didn't comprehend that you would not always remain buried. Those of you who thought you'd never grow past where you are tonight, say, devil, you are a liar. And I'm going to make this announcement. The devil is a liar. God is at work in our lives. I believe God is working. Do you believe? Incoming text. God's saying if we don't remain in step with his timing, if we run ahead of him, or just as bad, lag behind him, we will misfire our harvest. Yeah. I've been buried. God has allowed me under the soil for a purpose, buried in responsibilities, buried in tasks, buried complete, but God has released a word to my spirit, and that word is, it's time. It's time. Fruitfulness, it's time. And some will not know what we're talking about. See, they've never been locked down where they could not do what they personally desired to do. They've just been free rolling, doing whatever they want to do in life. And that's because they have not fully yielded themselves to God. They just want to do their thing their way. So they don't understand what I'm talking about tonight. But I want to speak to those who have been locked down. Circumstances have buried you in the dirt. And you couldn't do what you desired when you wanted to do it. You felt like, if I could, I would do this yesterday. I would do it three yesterdays. And here's your word. God is working now for you. He's working now for you. Tonight, God wants you to get beside yourself. He wants you to forget about those who are around you. He wants you to give your God praise and lift him a shout of victory, because God is working on your behalf even when you've been buried under the soil. Imagine being given a promise of complete release from imprisonment, endless years of hard labor, enforced slavery by the cruelest of taskmasters. And suddenly, the release arrives. But then you're plunged into the dirt of the desert, wandering under the stars. You're fearful of the night and what it might bring. And now you're insecure because your daily routine has totally been interrupted. Even though it was horrible and cruel, now you've got a whole different routine every day. And your worry intensifies because by day, you face unthinkable new challenges, obstacles you've never had to deal with before. And down inside, you remember that you've been promised ownership of an extraordinary land filled with houses, fields that are ready to harvest, an abundant fruitfulness, a land that flows with milk and honey. And this astonishing promise has been made to you, and yet it seems that it's been forever that you've remained buried in the desert sands, buried in fear and anxiety and darkness, and at times completely been overshadowed. And the promised blessings of God's fruitfulness seem to be somewhere way beyond your reach. And nothing in your past has ever prepared you for this. Nothing. So your faith is tested. And you say, can this really be mine? Is this just some cruel joke God promised me? Nothing seems to be happening down here. Everything seems to be horrible and dark. Is this some trick to get me to do something I really don't want to do? Is it some exercise in futility? And there's really no pot at the end of the rainbow. It's similar to what Israel experienced when they were forced into the desert after they left Egypt. And the years they spent in slavery seemed to be juxtaposed to the promise that one day soon they were going to enter a land filled with milk and honey. Let me illustrate. According to the account, the story is told about Mohini, a stunningly beautiful white tiger, lived in the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. during the 60s. The magnificent animal had been an extraordinary gift presented to President Eisenhower on December 5th of 1960. Mohini was a star attraction, even in her 12 by 12 cage with iron bars and cement floor. Somebody figured it out. That's not what you do with a beast like this. She would just pace ceaselessly, occasionally roaring to the delight of the zoo visitors. So the zookeepers finally got a clue, and they planted a much larger natural habitat so that this white tiger could roam more freely on acres of land, large pond, and a lot of foliage. After the time passed, the project was completed, and this large, enthusiastic crowd is gathered as they want to witness Mohini being released to this lush new playground, a place where she can roam freely. And everybody's surprised. Instead of romping in enjoyment and enjoying all the immenseness of this rambling park, Mohini headed straight for the perimeter wall at the enclosure's edge and began pacing in a 12 by 12 imaginary space, just the way she had learned it in the cage. Over time, the imaginary space was worn bare of its grass. And Mohini pretty well stayed in that tiny little corner of the wall for the remainder of her days, oblivious to the freedoms and the opportunities that were now afforded her. Sometimes we feel constrained by the dirt we've been buried under. And if we get used to staying there and not realizing that while it's not always pleasant to die to self under the dirt, to be dead and buried, but if we allow God to do the process, we know at the end of the day, there is going to be an explosion through the surface out of the dirt. And out of that seed pod will come that stalk. And out of that stalk, the first blade. And out of that blade, the full ear. And before it's over, a fantastic harvest. And sometimes we're there under the dirt, remaining in faith, lest we begin to think we are never going to see the light of day and bear the fruit that God has designed for us. Don't ever go there with that thought. Always know there will come a day when you're going to break the surface and God is going to bless you in the way He promised. We must be careful to stay in God's Word, to remain in faith, so we're never emotionally enslaved when God's best blessings and freedoms are all available to us if we'll trust His process. Calvary Christian Center, it's breakout time. Like Israel, when we trust God and we're obedient, He'll bless us. It was during those decades of wandering in the wilderness, in the dirt, they learned the process of trust, of faith, and action. The seed planted in the soil will have its shell rubbed off by the grinding of the dirt surrounding it until all of its contents is released and the nourishment begins to feed the center of that seed and the roots begin to grow. The stalk begins to shoot up. Because of obedience and faith, when it's time to reap the harvest, they were given an inheritance beyond their imagination. It was beyond their comprehension. When they came back from that land, having scouted it, and it took two fully grown, strong men to carry the grape vines, clusters from the grapevine, between them on a pole, when they saw the size of the fruit, it was beyond anything they'd ever experienced. It's our time for breakout. We're living in a remarkable season that's completely going to overshadow any previous experiences in the soil. We'll hardly ever remember those moments when it was miserable, but we'll thank God that He put us in that soil. Like Jesus being crucified and buried, we're being dead to self and our own interests. And in the burying, listen, we are experiencing our resurrection. Out of the burial comes new life. We are receiving supernatural anointing, and God's going to release to His people promised land blessings. We've been in a season of preparation. God's preparing us to bear much fruit. Are you ready to move beyond where you've been? Don't get too comfortable in the soil. And tonight, God wants us to break out at any form of mental or emotional bondage. or that self-imposed 12-by-12 cage. We have begun to burst through the topsoil. The stalk of wheat has grown. It's about to open and reveal its fruit. And God wants us to enjoy expanded borders and amazing blessings that He's prepared especially for us. God wants us to trust Him and believe that if He said it, He's going to do it. Caleb, one of the spies that was sent in to scout out the promised land, said it like this: "Let us go now and take possession of the land." Let's go get it. It's time for us to express our confidence in God and trust, yes, the process. Because the process is He's going to put us in the soil and bury us until that pod disintegrates. The pride, the arrogance, stubbornness, all of it disintegrates. And what He has allowed in the process will take us to fruitfulness that would never happen if we remained on top of the dirt instead of being put into the dirt. So jump to your feet and shout for your victory. Come on, jump to your feet and shout for your victory. Shout for your victory. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I want our graduates, all of them that we honor tonight, all of them, I want you to be the first down here tonight. I want the people of God to be praying for you while you're in this process. So if you're one of the ones we call tonight, come on down here. Come on and get a place down here at the altar. I think it would be appropriate for you to be down among some of the first people to be prayed for. Amen. And here's how Jabez, in the process and the difficulties and the pressures, his mother naming him attached the definition of pain to his name. And that buried him for a long time. But Jabez called on the God of Israel, and he said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." Why don't you lift your hand and say, "God, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory." And while you have your hand up, why don't you just keep it up and walk right on down here to the altar and say, "God, it's my prayer. It's my prayer with my hand lifted to you that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that there will be great fruit born from my life, that the purpose you have for me will reach full fruition." That's an act of surrender. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me." My circumstances aren't the prettiest right now, Lord. It seems like I've regressed instead of progressed. It seemed like when everything was going fairly well, then everything started caving in and I'm dropped down under the soil, and I don't think anybody even knows I'm down here. "That you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me." Anybody want his hand with you? I do. I need his hand every moment of every single day. I don't want to live a moment without his hand being with me. "And that you would keep me from evil." And Lord, on that seed pod, if there's arrogance and pride and stubbornness or anything on that pod that's offensive to you, crush it, break it, dissolve it, shake it up, snap it off of me. I want to be full bloom for you, that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. That's not where that prayer ended. Because there was a response to that. And here's the response. So God granted him what he requested. Isn't that amazing? So God granted him what he requested. Is that what you want from God? I know what I want from God. So lift your hands, those of you that are down here, and let's ask him to bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory, that we would not cause pain, that we would be kept from evil. Thank you, Lord.